If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 is probably where I'll start. I want to share a story before I start there and read that verse. Just talking about serving God and why we do what we do and about serving people. Because I want to lay a clear understanding that serving people, serving others is how we serve God. That's how we serve God. We serve other people. That's how we serve Him. And so I want to lay that story, but I want to tell this story first. And the story is this. There was a man who worked for a house builder, and he'd worked for this guy for 30 years, building homes and subdivisions and things like that. And this particular man, let's just give him a name George, I'm just making up a name, but George worked for his boss for 30 years, building houses and subdivisions and custom homes and things that were not small houses, but like big, fancy, really nice, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 homes. And so George had worked 30 years for this man, and every week's paycheck and every day there was work and there was always something to do next. And so George is called into a meeting with his boss, and he sits down and they're having a meeting of the company. And George is the foreman. He's the lead guy. You know, everybody answers to George, and George lines things out, makes sure things are done. He works also, but George is the man in charge under the main boss, the owner. So the owner calls him in and says, "George, we've been going at it for a long time now, doing well, but we're going to wrap the company up and close it down. I'm going to retire, and we're going to build one last house, and I want you, you know, do what you've always done and continue with me." And they were known, their company was known for building things with excellence. That they built the best houses, which is why they had the reputation they had. And they were known for that. So George leaves the meeting, and after thinking for a little while, he starts to get upset because he thinks, well, that's my weeks are going to be different. Things are going to change. I don't have retirement. George had not paid for his own house. He was renting, and so he was starting to think all these things through. You know, this late in life, I've just been living check to check. And here I am, the company's closing down. This is 30 years, all I know to do and all I know to work for. And, you know, how am I going to be at this age going to work? And so all these thoughts start flooding George's mind. And he gets this attitude and he gets upset. And he gets to where he's like, okay, well, I'll just go through this last house and we'll get it done. But George's attitude changed dramatically in that he, on the outside, it looked good. It looked like George was doing the work. You know, the sheetrock was going up, the paint was going up, things were getting done. But George, his attitude had changed in such a way that he wasn't paying attention to the details, that he was not trying as hard, that he was not on the guys as much to do things correctly. He wasn't checking on things the way that he normally did. He just kind of half-heartedly got an attitude and was like, well, I will just get this done. And so literally covering things up, doing things halfway, plumbing that wasn't correct, electrical that wasn't correct, things that were going to cause problems as soon as power was turned on, as soon as water was turned on. As soon as the house was made functional, there was immediately going to be problems because of the workmanship and the attitude of the heart that went into building the house, because he got mad at the owner for this surprise, you know, retirement and shutdown, which it shouldn't have been a surprise. There should have been on George's part some preparation. But this is the story. George gets to this point. They're building this house, and the day, the last week of the finish, they clean up and they're doing it. And everything on the house looks good on the outside. The appearance looks good, but the house is not good. One good strong wind and there's going to be problems. One, as soon as they turn the plumbing and the power on, there's going to immediately be problems. It's going to be a big deal. And George knows it. George is like, eh, they're not going to do all that till after I get my last check, and then I'm gone anyway. So that's his attitude. So the last week, on the last day of payday, George is called in to get his final check. He's figuring he's going to walk in, grab his check, and say goodbye and whatever. And of course, he's got a chip on his shoulder and an attitude. And so he walks in to get his final check, and he's handed a set of keys instead. And the owner says to George, he said, "Here's the keys to your new house." And by the way, here's a retirement package and your last check to pay all your bills and take care of you for the rest of your life. The house is yours. The house you just built is yours. You know, we serve other people, and we serve because our attitude has to be linked to the reason that we do it is because of our love for God, our relationship for Him, the reason that we serve other people. You know, we're building a house with our life. We're building that what in the end God's going to turn the keys over and say, here, it's yours. That's what he's told us that in Scripture. We're building right now in our daily life what He's going to hand us the keys to and say, it's yours. Take care of it. Live in it. Enjoy it. That's why He's going to remake the earth. That's why He's going to come back to the earth and do all that He's going to do. He's going to set us in positions of authority over this earth. He's going to hand us the keys to this place. But the more important thing is that we understand the day-to-day, that we're building our lives, that we're building our testimony, that we're serving other people. The reason that we do the things that we do is directly linked to our relationship with God. You know, you can always look at, and I learned this a while back, how people treat other people, how people view other people. You can look at how somebody can come in and they can say all day long, I'm a Christian. They can quote the Bible chapter and verse back and forth. You know, if you ever do any homeless ministry, you will run into people that can quote the Bible better than you, no matter how much effort you've put into it. There are guys out there that can stand on the stump and preach until the sun goes down. And it's powerful and it's good and it's the Word of God, but their lives are in shambles, a mess. Why? Because the serving thing is not in its proper place. Because selfishness has come in where serving should be. We should live and do what we do for others because Jesus directly linked, God Himself directly linked how we treat other people, what we do for other people in serving to our relationship with Him. It is revealing of whether or not we know Him or not. It is revealing of our walk with Him. It is a tell-all of our experience with God, whether or not we know Him or not. So Ephesians 2:10, I want to read this, says this. Point number one, we were created for serving. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we were created for good works. We were created to serve. We were created to do good works. Well, how do we do good works? We serve other people. We give. We clothe. We feed. We pray for people. We do good deeds. We help people out. We do the things that are set before us because we were created by God a long time ago. In His mind, when He created us and who we were, who we were going to be, He created us to do good works. That's what He created us to do. Number one. Number two, Romans 7:4. I want to read this. Romans 7:4 says this. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to one another, to Him who has raised God from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Let me read that again. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to one another, to Him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. That we should bear fruit to God. So, Romans 7:4 is just point blank, serving others. We're married to one another. We're married to Him. We're made one in Christ Jesus. And the serving others is the proof that we are His. Serving one another and others is the proof that we are Christians. It is the proof that we belong to Jesus. If we're married to Him, we're doing good works. We were created to do good works. And if we do good works, it is the proof that we belong to Him. It is the proof. The being able to quote the word, being able to preach, being able to sing, being able to show up for church even is not proof. The proof is in the serving. You know, there's that phrase, the proof is in the pudding, but the proof is in the serving when it comes to Christianity. The proof is in whether or not we're willing to serve. You know, it's the small things that matter. It's not the big things. Everybody wants to do the big things, the things that are notable. All of us do. There's not one of us that doesn't want to be in the limelight usually in some way or some degree, even if we don't admit it. But the thing is that the serving is the small things that matter. It's whether or not we're willing to do the little things that are put before us. The small things, the opening the doors, the greeting people, the going out and giving people a ride to church, all of those things are what we consider small things, but it's the small things that matter. It's the little things that are a big deal to God, because He's not looking at our gifts and talents. He's not looking at the flamboyant things that we're looking at that we can do. He's not looking at the greater gifts. He's looking at the little things. He's looking at whether or not we have a heart that serves, whether or not the proof is there that we're His, whether or not we're doing the little things is what He's looking at. He's looking at the heart of serving, because He Himself came, King of heaven, owns the world, and it says in Scripture that He came not to be served, but to serve. He could have come down here and said, okay, I'm here. Let me set my kingdom up. Everybody serve me. Did He do that? No. He came and served us as our supreme and ultimate example of what we're supposed to do. He came and He Himself served others. And so therefore He left us with the charge that we're supposed to do the same thing. And that is the test, the proof that we are His is in how we serve, whether or not we serve, and just like George, the attitude with which we serve. If we understand the reasons that we serve others and that it's directly linked to our relationship with God, that we do it for Him, that's the reason we do it, if we understand all that, then our attitude will line up with that belief, with that understanding, with that knowledge. And unlike George, who built a house and was going to have to live in this thing, he was probably going to have to tear the thing down and rebuild it. Because walls had to be torn out, things had to be redone because of the attitude with which he built the house. So as Christians, we've got to watch that. We've got to make sure that the reasons we're doing something is not for notoriety. It's not for any other reason than simply to serve others. If we're motivated by selfishness in any way, it will build a house like George built. We've got to root selfishness out of the equation. It's not about us. Opening the doors, serving, whatever it is, preparing food, going out door to door, all of those things we do for Jesus. We do because it's as we're doing it to Him. That's what He said. Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Let me read that again. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So the attitude with which we serve and the fact of whether or not we serve is the proof that we're His. We were created to serve, number one. Number two, it is the proof that we are His. And then it says very plainly right here that whatever we do it heartily. We do it with all our heart, and we do it unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that from the Lord we will receive our inheritance. Matthew 25:40, point number three is this: serving others is serving God. I serve God. Great. What do? Pray? No. What do? Well, I spend a lot of time thinking about God. No. What do you do? I go to church. No. What do you do? Well, I helped somebody that was on the side of the road. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Do you get it? It's in serving. It's in serving others. It's in doing things that are selfless. That's the proof. So what we do when we do it for others, we're not doing it just for others. We're doing it as we're doing it unto Him. Not unto men, but unto God. When we do whatever we do, that is serving God. Serving God is not attending church, even though that's part of it. Serving God is in serving other people and being selfless and not selfish. So, in Matthew 25 and verse... Actually, I'm going to start at verse 31. Matthew 25 and verse 31. I want to read this passage. When the Son of Man comes in His glory with all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of My brethren, you did it to Me." And the King will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me." And then He will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for you, for the devil and for his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they will answer Him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, or a stranger, naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment. So what is the dividing line between the sheep and the goats? He didn't even say it was relationship. Although it's everything's based out of relationship, we understand that. But what did He clarify as the dividing line? What they did. Whether they fed and clothed others. Whether they helped. Whether they visited. Whether they prayed for the sick or not. The goats that He separated on the one side, who were going to go into everlasting fire, and then the sheep that He separated on the other, the way He analogized that, the way He separated that, was you guys did these things, and if you did it to the least of a person, you did it to Me. And then the others, He clarifies the point again and says, "In as you didn't do it, you didn't do it to Me." So why do we do what we do? We do what we do because we love Jesus. We do what we do because that is serving God. Serving God is serving others. There is no separation. How we treat people is how we treat God. He made that distinction. Not us, not me. He made that distinction. He made that a clear and direct link. Not just in Scripture, the Apostle Paul wrote and different and others. But Jesus himself made it so crystal clear and plain that how we treat people and what we do in service to God is directly linked to whether or not we're his. Whether or not we have a relationship. Yes, the love flows out of relationship with him, and we love people because we love him. But the fact of the matter is this. We were created to serve. It is the proof that I belong to him. And serving others is serving God. Plain and simple. Matthew 25, I want to end there, but I feel like that this is important because what we do in serving God is a daily walk. We always think, well, God's called me to do this or do that, or we're looking for our gifts and we're looking for our talents when there's things right in front of us we can do. We can clean the church. We can open doors. We can give people rides to church. We can show up for the community meal and help, which we all do. I'm just encouraging and saying the reason we do it is because it is serving God. That's how we serve God. And Christians, all too often, as believers, I know I've been guilty of this in the past. I'm going along and, well, I'm not in ministry. I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that, so I must not be serving God. And that's not true. It's the little things that matter. It's the little things that are serving God. It's the things that in our mind are little. But God sees it oppositely. He sees the things that we see as little as big as the big things. And the things that we see as big things, he sees as the little things. Encouraging and preaching the word is a big deal. Yes, we look at that as a big deal. But honestly, if we're preaching the word and not doing anything with it, then what good is it? The measure of a minister is not the people walking out and going, oh, that was a great sermon. I feel good. That was wonderful. But whether or not they do something with it. Does that make sense? I mean, our Christian walk is this. We are supposed to serve other people and be an example of God's love to the world so that that inspires other people to want to serve people too. As a church, God has called us to be a catalyst in this community and this city. A catalyst of what? A catalyst of serving. The whole thing started in serving and loving others, and it's going to continue that way because that's what God designed us to do. He created us to serve. The proof that we're His is in serving. And serving others is serving God. And so God's called us to a community. Why? Because He wants us to be an example of serving to others around. You know, it's easy in the Christian world, especially in church nowadays, in many, many places. I mean, I've been in those places where you get to a point where the structure, the way it's set up or whatever's going on in our society, this is just a common thing, that a few people do everything in a church. A few people do everything and everyone else just attends. That's not what God designed. God designed all of us to work together and all of us to carry a part of the load and all of us to be involved. And if we're all doing small things, then it culminates into a big thing. We're not going to impact this city if we operate like every other structure, like every other church. And I'm saying that to say this. There's not churches out there that are doing bad. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we can't be that way. We can't become that way. We can't get stuck in that routine. We can't get stuck in that rut. And we have to shift the way of thinking. Our culture is set up that way, that a few do the work and the rest just attend. And, you know, the phrase couch potato was entered into Webster's dictionary in 1982. I didn't know this. You know why? Because Webster's Dictionary, Merriam-Webster, they have a group of people all over the place, and they're constantly looking for new words to add into the dictionary. They do this every year. They're constantly looking. Well, the reason couch potato was entered into the dictionary is because subsequent to 1982, from like 1979 to 1982, it was used in the media constantly. Couch potato this, couch potato that. So they took note of it, and they put it in and put a definition with it. Well, you know, you can picture that. We can picture that. That in serving, we can, in the church world, what has happened is instead of couch potato, it becomes a pew potato. Well, how, what does that look like? Well, you think about a couch potato. Somebody just sits and watches TV, usually has a remote in their hand. We're not really doing much. We're just spectating. Well, we can get an attitude, and I've been in places where this is true, where we come in and we're just spectating. We just want to see what's going on, snack on a little religion, and go back to our thing, right? It's easy to get there. I've been guilty of that before. I don't want to be that way. I don't believe any of us want to be that way. But the fact of the matter is we've got to take a serious check and say, where am I? Am I serving? Am I doing the small things for the right reasons? Am I doing the small things at all? Number one. Number two, am I doing the small things for the right reason? Because I'm serving God. That's how I serve God. I love Him. So I serve other people. And I don't be selfish and just spectate and snack on a little religion every Sunday or Wednesday. We can do that. We can get stuck in that rut really easily. Our society is set up that way. There are many functioning that way. God has not called us to function like that. He's called us to be serious, to be involved, to serve Him, to love our community, and to be an example and a catalyst to this city of what we're supposed to be as Christians. And that is serving and helping and loving. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's what's going to make the difference. It's what we do that's going to make the difference, not what we say. If what we do and what we say line up, that's when change happens. That's when God's plan is fulfilled. He wants us to walk His word, to live His word, to be His word. And in doing that is serving others. It is in living it out and walking it out in our day-to-day life. And, you know, we always are looking forward to this next big thing or this, you know, next thing that we're going to do or this or that, when every day we're all given opportunities right in front of us to help, to serve, to bless, to do good deeds to other people. And that's simply what He's saying. We were made to serve. The fact of whether or not we serve is a proof that we're His. And, you know, the final thing is that is simply serving others is serving God. And so I want to end with that. If you guys would stand up this morning, I just want to pray. Father, I thank You this morning, God. I just ask You this morning that You would take this message into my own heart and to all of our hearts, God, that we would be motivated for the right reasons, that we would be moving for the right reasons, that we would be doing for the right reasons. And God, that we wouldn't have an attitude in any way, in any place in our walk with You that was like George. Well, it's just the last mile, so I'm just going to put it in neutral and kind of let things happen. And then, God, You hand us the keys to our city because I know that that's what You're going to do. We know. We're believing You for that. We've been praying for that. We know that You're going to hand the keys of the city over. God, we know that You are going to hand to us whatever we build. And so, Father, I pray that You would inspire us, that You would strengthen us, that You would pour Your love and Your mercy and Your goodness into us, that You would increase in our hearts. God, that You would just do it. A fresh fire, God, a fresh touch. Reinvigorate our hearts, God, in what we're called to do and what we're called to be and where we're called to go and who we're called to help, God. Father, that the opportunities are in front of us every day, day in and day out. Every moment, God, there's always something in front of us every single day to help another person, to bless another person, and to do it because of love, to do it because of You, to do it because You have called us and created us to serve. Because, God, You equated serving to serving You, serving others to serving You. So, God, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that You take this message and put it deep inside of our heart and let it be the motivation, the fact that when we do something for another person, just like You said it, Jesus, if we do it for them, we're doing it for You. If we do something for someone else in love, then we're doing that for you. And equally, God, if we do something negative to someone else, it's like we're doing it to you. That is the equation that you laid out before us. So, Father God, I pray for the revelation of that to be real to us today. And God, that you would encourage each and every one of us, God, as we walk out of here today, to be filled with your presence, to pursue you, and to increase our walk of love with you. And God, that you would just set those opportunities before us, as I know you do every day. But even more so, God, just encourage us, strengthen us. Let us walk out what you've called us to be, individually and corporately, God. I pray that you would increase our numbers, increase us, God. Increase, God, those things that you've called us to do, Father. And I pray that you would just help us to set things aright in our own life. God, that you would stir and increase passion within us and our hearts, God. Father, that worshiping you would become an important thing. That the serving is important, but worshiping you is also important. That one thing does not cancel out another. One thing encourages another. One thing builds on another. And all of it together is important and a part of your kingdom. So, Father God, I pray for a revelation of worship in our house, in our midst, for each and every one of us, that you would reveal the importance and the power and the motivation of worship. God, you've taught us this morning the motivation of serving is that it's serving you when we serve others. God, so when we worship you, God, I pray that the motivation of that, that the reality of that, God, that the revelation of that would be real to us, that worshiping you moves heaven and therefore it moves earth. God, that it establishes your presence in our hearts. God, that it is strength to our bones, God. That it is encouragement to us. That it is strength to us. How we receive nourishment from you, God. It's to give you worship, God. We lift you up today. And Father, I just pray that you would do what you do, God, even more so today, God. That you would increase in each and every one of our hearts, God. That as we open our hearts to you, that you come, God. That you would come and fill us up today. That you would strengthen us. That you would give us an increased passion and desire, God, to worship you. Not to be distracted with the things of this world, the things that are set before us. God, even the struggles of today and tomorrow, God. Father, those things would just fall away. They would just fall away as a non-important thing. Because the most important thing is serving you. The most important thing is worshiping you. It's loving you. It's doing whatever it is, God, that you set before us. Because those things are eternal. And these things are temporary. And they really don't matter. But what we do for you, that is what really matters. So, Father, I pray this morning that you help us to see today, right here, right now, what really matters before us today. In Jesus' name. Amen.